Oh, snap. Episode 433.
It's a pretty special episode.
It's so special. We're halfway to 866.
Mm-hmm.
It's exciting. We're going to have an 866 party.
Oh, we definitely are. Yeah.
That's the big number.
Mm-hmm.
That's
unforeseen numerology.
Yes. You know, the famous Route 866. It's like, you know, it's got a lot of history.
It does. It does. You know what I mean? But episode, a third of the way to episode 1299. You
know what I mean? We're ready to go. We're totally ready to go there. Mm-hmm. And we've got a lot. We're going to be talking about a lot of movies right now, but a fair amount of them, I'm going to guess you haven't seen.
You're right.
Listening to you listening audience, because we're kind of in a dead zone. We're in that like fall, February-ish of, you know, it's like summer movies are over. Awards movies haven't started yet, and apparently there's nothing to release between mid-August to mid-September.
It's funny. The studios have started to figure out the January-February dead zone, right? Like, they put Black Panther there, which was brilliant.
Yeah,
it
exactly.
It stayed at number one for 3 months or
right.
whatever.
Uh-huh.
But they haven't figured out this Labor Day
No, it's like, oh, well, that's completely different. We couldn't do that here.
We couldn't do that here.
That would make no sense to put a good movie here that people might actually want
to
see.
Let's still stick to old business models and talk about pilot season and other things that don't exist anymore.
Why would we change anything?
It's not, not like everything has completely been changed by Netflix and Hulu. And
That's a fad.
Yeah.
It's not what people want or how they want to consume media.
No, we're still having the Emmy Awards.
Yes, and we're still saying television.
Light bulbs don't work now either.
It's
on the projectors. They don't work during the end of August, beginning of September. They just don't work.
Yep. IMAX shuts down. They boycott.
Right.
That's right. Projectors are seasonal.
They're seasonal. Projectors are seasonal, as is the worker bees. They go back to school, and they're like, there's no one to show the movies. No one to pour popcorn for children.
So, no one wants to go to the movies this time of year.
No, you know, it's that like, ooh, August is coming up. Time for my movie vacation.
Yeah. Thank God.
Yeah.
We finally get a movie vacation.
Yeah, where there's nothing for me to see. So why don't we introduce one of our guests?
Yes.
Yeah.
The other one's not here yet.
No, he's running late, but we'll introduce the one that's here on time. Early, I might even add, before you and I even got here.
It is my nature.
Mm-hmm.
Good
and you know what? Also, I unnecessarily double confirmed her.
Good for you.
Yeah, just to make sure.
Should we confirm her one more time before we introduce her?
I'm not saying it could hurt. Yeah.
I just want to know.
Will I stay?
Yeah. I want to know. You're talking now. At any moment, if we don't confirm her a third time, she could walk.
Yeah, get up
I could go get a cup of coffee.
There's nothing keeping me here without a third confirm.
Exactly.
She could do the old dad goes for ice cream.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, here comes our other guest. It's so exciting.
Hey, come on in.
Oh, hi, everybody. I'm so sorry. I didn't realize I was so late.
Hey, man.
Hi.
So.
Do you need a watch? What's going on?
Yeah.
Dude, what's going on?
That's the old MC. That's
a stock line from the 80s.
That's a stock line from the 1880s.
Exactly.
That's
exactly since the invention of the watch. It's
It still kind of works, though.
It does, yeah. It always works. Did you learn to whisper under a helicopter?
And what's the other one? Isn't there like a birthday one? Like, I'm not going to ask you how old you are, ma'am. And what do you weigh? Isn't there that one? There's that.
Cut you in half and count the rings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You ever get that one? Yep. You ever get that one? My husband gives me a core sample. Anything? Nothing? Yeah.
JackieCationComedy.com, everybody.
Yes. And ladies and gentlemen, introducing Jackie Cation.
There she is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Comedian, writer, podcaster.
And now, writer of a comic book.
Yes.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Ore or is it just Ore?
It's Ore.
It's Ore. There we go. Simon Ore.
Ladies and gentlemen, finish the intro. You're halfway there.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you guys know this about Simon, but he works over there at Starburns.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little known fact, but I'm comfortable now admitting it.
Yeah.
What the heck?
Right? Exactly.
Yeah, now's the time.
Now's the time
to come out.
Give you guys a little background. This is Dan Harriman and Dino Stamatopoulos' company.
That's right.
And they do animation, they do TV shows, they do live action, and they just started a comic book imprint called Starburns Press. And we will be talking a little bit later about their Kickstarter that they're doing, that Jackie's a part of, called Comics Comics.
And I thought for a second, catering. I want you guys to go into catering. You know that Dan Harmon went to my grade school?
That's right, really?
We went to the same grade school, yeah.
In Milwaukee?
In South Milwaukee.
That's amazing.
You went to Rawson. Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's I think when we met, he was half in the bag, so he doesn't remember telling me that. But
in grade school, he was just hammered?
All the time.
Well, he was raised in South Milwaukee. Yes. I was. Yes. I don't know why you wouldn't have been. I was weaned on Pabst and Ho-Hos.
Yeah. So this is a part of the country where when a kid has is teething, they put whiskey in the kid's mouth.
Peppermint schnapps.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It was Rumpelmann's.
And it's also a little bit on the pacifier to help them sleep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Old
yep.
school.
Yep. And in the bottle to help them just make it through the day.
Yeah. Once you turn six, it's opium. It's just straight
opium.
You know, you're either an alcoholic or you sleep well.
Yeah.
So
just mainlining some H right as you transition into the fifth grade.
Yep.
Listen, everything in moderation is okay. That's how you learn, you know?
Yes. Even moderation.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All those school buses. So let's get into it. Let's talk about our first movie. Now, you saw Peppermint, which, oh my God. Now, I was thinking, well, something must have happened where it was the only movie at a certain time. It was the food theater, or I can't imagine you going, this is the movie I can't wait to see.
You would be wrong, Chris.
Wow. All right.
I saw this trailer and I went,
on purpose.
I went, I'm in.
Okay.
Ever since the Taken series, where everyone's getting a Taken.
Right.
I'm like, give them all a Taken.
Yes.
Tony Shalhoub, I don't care.
Oh, I would watch a Shalhoub Taken like
Shalhoub,
that.
Of course.
Instantly.
Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. Anybody. You know what I mean? Anne Heche.
Jim Parsons.
I don't care. Jim, give them all.
Yeah, I'd give
them all.
Jim.
You know what I mean? Everybody gets a Taken.
That's why he's quitting Big Bang Theory.
Yes.
Like, I've got four Taken movies lined
up. He's got them stacked up. Jim Parsons has had enough.
Yeah.
He can't take it anymore. Mm-hmm. They pushed the wrong guy.
Yeah.
So you give me Jennifer Garner, who, by the way, I was, you know.
Were you an Alias?
I was an Alias fan.
Okay, right. There you go.
So there I'm in.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask, was it the Alias or the Taken of it all? But it's the perfect peanut butter jelly combination.
It really is. Honestly, it's, if I were to, after watching this movie, here's what it is. It's Death Wish Alias. It's old school. Now, I'm an old school Bronson fan. I'm an old school.
Isn't it like a mix of Punisher in there, too? A little bit? A
little bit of Punisher. But this really has its roots with Charles Bronson. It really.
Revenge porn?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
They took away everything she loved, Jackie.
Oh, did they?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wait, is that the picture with she's got angel wings?
Yes.
Now, just to be clear, was she minding her own business?
Like Jack Reacher, where she wasn't looking for trouble?
She was not looking for trouble. She was minding her own business. She was a loving wife and mom.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what they did?
They took everything away.
They took everything away.
Oh, my God.
That's not right.
A lot of people would just probably crumble, wouldn't they?
Sure. Because the system's no help.
The system's no help at all.
Yeah, the system's... You can't get help from the system.
So what would you do if the system fails you and they take away everything you love?
Now I want to see this movie.
Right? Exactly.
Why wouldn't I?
A normal person would probably just say, I'm going to move away and live on a farm and be a peaceful life.
And grieve. Like a classy lady. A classy lady would have grieved.
Would have grieved in a meadow and wrote a poem about suffering.
Mm-hmm. Right, maybe gotten a pony.
Yeah.
And
Started a blog.
Maybe a mommy blog, except for that her baby was taken.
Yeah.
So a grieving mommy blog.com. Mm-hmm.
Or she can just disappear for 5 years. We don't quite know where and how she gets her training. We don't even get a League of Shadows.
It's a 5 years Bruce Wayne kind of ordeal?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God.
And they don't explain
it. I'm going now.
Which is fantastic. They just say she must have gotten training.
Mm-hmm. Somewhere.
And you know what? I don't care where she got her training. All I know is people that have wronged her, they're going to get fucked up hard.
Eventually. Yeah, after 5 years.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm. Comes back,
It's like a Count of Monte Cristo with bite.
It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Shaved head, V for Vendetta style.
Is there a reason
punching out.
She's called Peppermint? Or is that like a rosebud reveal at the end?
This isn't a spoiler. This is revealed very early. It was the flavor of ice cream she went to go get her daughter. when she turned her back, and she should have died with them too.
Oh my God, she's gonna
Why
cut
did
somebody.
You spare me?
Oh my God.
I tell you.
Did you ever see The Girl Most Likely To with Stockard Channing?
No. How do I get it? Yeah. If you're just telling me this is Stockard Channing's death wish,
and more importantly, how did we get there?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Because it's revenge that she takes on everyone who make fun of her in high school. It was made in like 74.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And matter of fact, Aaron, look that up because I would actually.
So did this she disappear like, for 5 years to get training first?
She got in a horrible accident, had plastic surgery, so nobody recognized her. She used to be ugly, and then she turned into Stockard Channing. And then, which I think is normally just normal good-looking people. She's not like fancy Jennifer. I mean, she's not good-looking like people are good-looking now, where they've been sculpted from a piece of ice. It's like, she's just sort of normal good-looking and fit and for 1970s. Mm-hmm. So she comes back and everyone who was mean to her, like all I remember is she pushes one guy out of an airplane.
Oh,
and,
yes.
Like she fucks with his parachute. They go parachuting and she's like, hey, let's jump. And he jumps and they're holding hands and he's like, hey, my thing doesn't work. She's like, that's right, bitch. Something like that. It's fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. She just
whatever 70s version of that.
Whatever
70s
version of that. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, damn straight.
I know. I packed it. You turkey. Or whatever.
You turkey.
But I got to tell you guys, this movie, I mean.
So it was fun.
It was great. Mm-hmm. You got to. And bad cliche cop dialogue is. It's short. It's brief. It's between scenes of her literally shooting bad guys in the goddamn face. Well, I mean, just like
it's not like
murder.
They're gonna catch her halfway through.
No, yeah. Close range pistol in your fucking face. Boom! Like it's awesome. I mean, it's like and there's some. It's like The Raid. You know, like she goes into just there's. 50 drug dealers in some fortified.
So it was like a drug Comic-Con.
It was a drug Comic-Con, and she just goes in there and just fucking throttles people.
Cleans house.
Mm-hmm. You messed with the wrong mother. Like, it is fantastic.
That is awesome.
How did they set it up for a sequel? Did she get a new family and then it gets taken away from
that
her?
That is the beautiful thing. The ending literally did everything short of going, sequel! Like, I'm watching the ending and I'm like, please, I want a franchise. I want this to be a franchise. I need a peppermint too, more minty. Double the mint.
Yeah.
I go, if you take away the sequel from me, I'm going to be very angry. And then the ending, I went, yes. We're going to go back. Are we going to go back to her League of Shadows, Ra's al Ghul training, wherever she gets it? I don't care. Yeah. Like,
right.
The Sandinistas that she was living with, you know, that's a T2 throwback. I don't care.
However she got her training.
But she's, there's justice. That's what she's going to do is she's just going to travel around with just an ATM card, like Jack Reacher, and people are going to mess with her, and she's going to put them down.
They're going to go down hard.
Yeah.
And you know what? The social media people, that's the other thing. She's a social media hero. You know, and that's where they're like the graffiti with the wings.
Okay.
She becomes this kind of like...
She's a
symbol.
She's a hashtag.
Yeah, she's a hashtag. She's a hashtag.
Awesome.
Was she trending?
Oh, yeah. And you know what else was trending, Chris? Justice. That's what was goddamn trending. So this movie.
Hooray.
Yeah, go into it. Don't, if you are expecting more than an alias taken, a two-dimensional, if you want three-dimensional characters...
Look elsewhere.
You're going in the wrong place. If you want sweet bullets and justice, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
And the way she... And Jennifer Garner, she's a good actress.
Mm-hmm.
So a woman actually playing someone whose husband and child were murdered and is done.
Yeah.
She's...
Yeah.
That's believable.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. It might even be typecasting in our current administration.
And, you know, maybe she's working through some stuff through her divorce. I don't know, but it works, man.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, there was a lot of channeling.
Fantastic. So go see it.
So, all right. So a surprise glowing review for Peppermint. Check it out. Maybe there is something to see in the theaters right now. There is not a lot to see in streaming, as we will explore. I saw the movie Anon, which is short for Anonymous. This is now, I will say this. I'm a huge Clive Owen fan. I think he's a fantastic actor. I love him and stuff. And I always felt like, why isn't he James Bond? Why isn't he more famous? Why isn't he is one of the actors that really broke out? I mean, he's kind of famous, but he's not like that level of like, why isn't he getting more leading man roles? And this movie will not help his case. It's a shame.
Oh, no.
It's like, you know, I'm like, all right, I know no one saw you in the Nick, but it's okay. I still like you. You know, I want to see this movie. This is a fake future movie where it's like sort of in the future, but the director does that annoying thing of like, oh, I'm going to put retro cars in it. I'm like, yeah, I get it. The Matrix. I got it. Okay. Again, already strike one.
Right.
So there's the next trouble. Thing is everyone has implants. And what you do is when you
everyone
walk down
implants?
The street, everyone has implants.
Like,
and when you,
what do you mean?
Like
that's your eyes.
Yeah. It's computer chips.
They chip in.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and when gravity fails, man. Yeah. Did you read that? Why isn't that a movie? Anyway, go.
Yeah.
So sorry.
So what it is he's a cop, and when he walks around, like,
is he wound too tight?
He is wound too tight.
Is he in too
sure.
deep, Chris?
Yeah. Yeah, he also has a failed marriage, which is weird.
Oh, what? A cop with a failed marriage? Oh, shocking.
So what it is the entire movie is overlays of, like, AR, like augmented reality. So he's walking down the street. Everything gets highlighted when you go to a person, like a square comes over, and then you get the identity of the person as you walk past. There's advertisements come on board. So, and then, like, if you see food in a store, like, all the ingredients come up on the food, like, as you're walking past. So,
wait a minute.
Facebook, you can't escape.
Yeah. It was like this weird thing.
But that was
in
Minority
like,
Report.
Yeah. Yeah. It was that kind of thing. But, and it was also, I'm like, oh, this is kind of an interesting idea.
Yeah.
And then about 10, 15 minutes in, okay, now it's overused and it's annoying.
Well, it would like
constant.
It would be in real life.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, imagine walking through like the train station, and every ad just jumped out at you and
right.
said, "Hey, Chris, you have kids.
Yeah.
What about this movie?"
And like, even you're buying a hot dog, and then it highlights, and like, you get all the ingredients like while you're eating. Yeah,
I don't want to know this. Yeah.
So, and it's like, apparently, here's my favorite part of the movie. Apparently, no one can shut it off. So I'm like, really? You have no control over any of this technology? Because it gets in, like, there's a murder, you know, people's eyesight gets jacked, and, you know, there's all this conspiracy of, like, oh, you can hack a human being. Well, if you stick a fucking computer chip in them, yeah, you could probably hack a human being.
Yeah.
It's pretty obvious that you could do that.
Yeah.
And then, but it's never explained, why don't you just shut it off? I'm like, oh, no, then we'd have...
No, if you unplugged it becomes sentient and kills us all.
We'd not have a second half of the movie if you could shut it off. So it's one of those movies that has a really interesting premise. Like, it really felt like it's like, this is going to be the next Blade Runner. Like a neo-noir that's technologically based with a cautionary tale of technology in the future. With some really great actors and some,
So
it should have been really good.
Because it's taking technology that already exists and saying, what if it...
Right.
What if we use it for these reasons, or it expands to this capacity?
And if this happens, like, how would you even control crime? Mm-hmm. Like, so that kind of thing. Like, every crime would be possible if you could jack somebody's memories and eyesights and all those things. So, great. Like, I'm on board. And then the movie gets dopier and dopier and dopier and then goes literally nowhere.
Well, let me ask you this. So it says it has a $20 million budget.
Yes.
How was the production?
Was it reflected on the screen?
Yeah. You know what? I will say it really felt like a $20 million movie. But that's not necessarily a bad thing, because you look at like some mid-range to low-budget sci-fis, you could create some great movies and compelling movies with a lower budget. Like, I don't think the budget hampered the movie. What hampered the movie was the writer-director, I think it was Andrew Niccol, who has done some very mediocre science fiction movies in the past.
What's his resume? Let's look it up.
And, well, do you remember that movie Gattaca?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Another great premise.
Yes, another amazing
my
premise.
My favorite part of Gattaca is whenever they the guys that have any sort of problems are like, get your swim trunks.
Yeah, and then...
remember when they had to go swimming out into the ocean?
Oh, yeah, that was the
that was
plot.
The big test.
Yeah,
it was like, get another, your trunks. We're doing this.
I'll name another great premise that went nowhere was Truman Show.
Oh, yeah?
Remember that? Like,
yeah,
was that
him too?
That was him too, yeah.
So
this guy is like a walking premise.
He wrote The Truman Show. I will say this. Now, Lord of War, I actually really liked that movie. He wrote and directed that. That is an interesting movie about the arms.
That's with Nick Cage.
Yeah, Nick Cage plays the arms dealer.
But is it like this into the future science fiction type film?
No.
That might be. See?
It's very grounded.
So he comes up with a great premise, cannot... pay off on it.
Simone is weird. Has anyone here seen Simone?
I've not seen Simone.
That's
what it generates the actress.
Yeah, it's Al Pacino makes a digital actress who becomes like the biggest star in the world, and he has
again,
to pretend.
As we're talking
real.
About this movies, they're like, oh, these sounds great. These sound great. These are great premises. I would love to see a movie
landing.
Like this. Yeah. And that's really what happens with
this. It also says Monopoly is one of his projects to come, and I really hope it's based on the game.
Oh, that would be great.
Really hope it's just like Mr. Moneybags.
Yeah. Keanu Reeves plays the Monopoly guy.
Oh my God, that'd be amazing.
I don't want to wear a monocle.
Yeah, the other movie he did, which is A Good Kill, which I think went straight to video.
I've never heard of it.
So this is, again, it's like, it almost seems intentional, where Netflix is picking up these mediocre fantasy science fiction movies, just throwing them onto streaming, and they're just I think, in my opinion, Netflix has to fire their entire acquisitions team at some point. Like, you have to go, you know what, series we're doing great on, you know, feature film acquisitions, we're picking all the wrong things.
And
the other studios have figured it out, because they're dumping their bullshit movies that they don't want to release onto Netflix. That new Jungle Book movie from Warner Brothers went to Netflix.
My question though is, does Netflix give a shit?
No, you know, like, I think the answer is no.
Because if their analytics are, look, we don't spend top dollar for these movies. We buy these things. People watch them. You'll keep your subscription going.
Right.
And you'll hang around.
And they can say that they have new content.
Yeah.
They can say they're always and content that they own.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the big thing. It's not a licensing fee. So in the long run, are they like, well, it doesn't, we don't care.
Yeah.
Because you click to watch it, that's all I give a shit about. Whether you liked it or thumbs up, thumbs down, it doesn't matter to me.
And you had a great cast in this movie, too. Mm-hmm. Like, you not only had Clive Owen, you also had Colm Feore, who is really, you know, he's always plays like a weird character, but he's a great actor.
Name.
Yeah. And then the lead actress was really good, too. She was...
Amanda Seyfried?
Amanda Seyfried, yeah. Mm-hmm. She did a really good job. She was like the hacker that they thought was killing people, and then, you know, there's a twist.
Did you ever read When Gravity Fails? That
I have
George
not
Alec
read when,
Effinger?
When no. Gravity Fails.
It is an amazing... It's like a Blade Runner set in a futuristic Dubai. Mm-hmm. It's in the red light district of a
futuristic... Is it a crime story?
It's a noir-y crime story.
Okay.
And it's essentially you everybody can have chips in their heads. You can you can be someone else, and you can remove those chips to be someone else. Like, you can be Marilyn Monroe for the night, and some guy has purchased essentially Jack the Ripper, James Bond, and some other murderer, and he's going around and murdering everybody.
Right.
And our hero is just an old school private eye. That guy's just an old school private eye, just a Muslim, just a devout. But he, you know, I think his girlfriend's a whore with a heart of gold. Things are happening, guys. It's all working out for
this
guy.
Is there a noodle shop somewhere?
There is often. There's some rice and I think some lamb kebab.
Tell me his name is Jack.
Frank. It is not. It is whatever the Muslim version of that is. Because it's set in like a futuristic Dubai.
Right.
And so like the Godfather guy is like, we got to catch this. He's ruining my businesses. But when Gravity Fails, would be an amazing movie.
Now, let me ask you a question, because this movie did something that really can sink a noir mystery pretty quickly. Did the book have any suspects in it?
It did not.
No suspects.
No suspects at all, which now that I think about it, that's weird.
Yeah, it is. The problem with a film version of not having any suspects is like, well, we think this is the killer, but what if it isn't? Well, what if it isn't? Then you've
Who
not
cares?
Set it up. that it's anyone else in the cast. So that means it's going to be someone random that we're not going to care about because it hasn't been grounded at all in the story.
Right. No, I don't remember. You know what? Here's what I don't remember about the book. Who did it? So I don't think it was most. It wasn't a. It was more about the journey, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was not about. Mm-hmm. Like I think that the crime was there. It's a trilogy. When Gravity Fails, the second one is good. The third one is not.
Right. Well, you know, if you look at like the classic ones, like Chinatown, the way these crime dramas are put together, where it's like literally has you guessing to the very end, but it. At the end, you don't
Where's
go.
Where's the director going to
move? You don't
move?
Go. Wait,
yeah. That's my.
This
that was
is
my
bullshit.
Crime.
You're like, oh no, that's amazing. Like you know, because the groundwork has kind of been set there. Everything from like Memento, all these movies where little, you know, little clues have been put down. Like when you go back, even if you. You know, it's not really
Usual
a crime drama,
suspects.
But like Usual Suspects,
yeah.
Sixth Sense. Yeah, exactly.
I had no idea that Madonna was
so, spoiler alert, folks.
So, again, great premise, just great actors, just not a good movie.
That's too bad.
That is the review
of every
Netflix film.
Yeah,
every Netflix original film is that. Wow, good actors, cool premise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, everyone.
Yeah,
how many have you seen?
Too many.
Way too
no,
many.
No.
Yeah, because especially when we get into the dead theatrical zone, it's like we look to other places. And
so you saw Cloverfield Paradox?
I did.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
Yeah, I sure did.
Was it really a paradox? Did
and
it feel
that was the kind of movie, too, that I could have reviewed without even seeing it. That was one of those movies where, like, okay, I saw the trailer. None of this makes any sense. This is an hour and a half of just random scenes and then, the Cloverfield scene at the end to tie it together into the universe.
I like how Simon asked you that as though sort of it was an intervention.
Just yeah.
Like, Chris, I think we
maybe,
need to talk.
You know, find another streaming service.
Right.
Yeah. Like, for,
stop.
Or stick with the series.
I think
injecting Netflix into your toes. We need to have a talk.
Yeah. You're hiding.
Is it getting in the way of your work? So. Is it affecting relationships? Relationships.
Do you watch it when you're alone?
I don't want to say yes, but maybe.
All of the people.
Yeah.
Awareness, acceptance, action, Chris. Those are the three steps you need to take.
So, I can't wait for the next shitty premise for me to stream.
Yay.
So.
I feel like this is your like Netflix is one giant Maze Runner franchise.
It's like I really feel like the odds are now in my favor where I'm going to get that diamond in the rough. I'm going to find that one where it's like the acquisition team at Netflix screwed up and accidentally acquired something really good without knowing it.
They let some intern who actually has taste.
Yeah. Where they're like, you know, and it was like a fight to get it through. And like, oh, this is stupid. This is the worst movie ever. And it's going to be like the best one they ever acquired.
All right.
So I know it's coming. It's there somewhere. Just the law of averages says it's there. But I could be wrong.
I think keep fighting the good fight, Chris.
Yeah.
I love that you're living in hope.
Yes.
How about that?
I know. It's got to, at some point, Netflix's hundreds of billions of dollars that they're spending on content has to go in the right direction.
At some point, the same person that green lights the cool series.
Right.
Yeah.
They're going to let that person pick a film.
They're going to send them to a film
really
festival.
Good, right?
Yeah.
The series are great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hopefully we'll be part of that. Starburns is making a stop motion movie with Netflix. It's about Michael Jackson's pet monkey. It's called Bubbles, and it'll be directed by Taika Waititi.
I'm in.
Yeah, we're definitely in it. So, who did Thor
I'm
Ragnarok?
I'm pro monkey.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's
going
to be a time. It's all
and
Michael Jackson's story people. Through Bubbles' eyes.
Okay. And are you guys in production on it now?
We're in pre-production, yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Nice.
So what's like now, if you're doing stop motion, what's like the projected time frame for that? I mean, it takes
time.
A long time.
It
yeah?
takes a long time, but it also depends on how many people you have and how complicated the sets are.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But hopefully soon we'll be making tiny little Michael Jacksons. And
are you making them right in Birmingham?
Yeah,
or you have to
right
go
around the corner.
Studio?
Yeah.
Nice.
Wow, very cool.
Actually, down the street. We're literally down the street.
Right.
I was so on time.
Well, now that you're... Yeah, I will say you were the latest guest that had the shortest distance to go.
But that's how it always happens.
Yeah, right.
Like, I'm 10 minutes away. I don't have to leave until I'm 10 minutes.
Right.
Yeah. But that's... honestly, that sounds really cool. We'd actually like to come see when you get into actually building them all. We'd love to see
that'd be awesome.
See, yeah.
And we're doing right now an episode of Cosmos, which is going to be really cool.
Oh, very cool. All right, let's get to the next one now. Jackie, you saw The Spy Who Dumped Me, which came out...
It's the only thing I've seen.
Yeah, so yeah, about a month ago or so.
And some Marvel things.
But here's the thing. I know we haven't covered it, so I wanted to talk about it.
Did you see it?
We did not see The Spy Who Dumped Me.
Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it yet. I want to, because I love...
Kate McKinnon and 70s yes. Show. Yes.
By the way, that's...
Kate McKinnon and 70s Show.
The scene in the
trailer.
I don't know
who anybody is. I'm in the part of show business that doesn't know. We will continue to... What?
Well, apparently that scene in the trailer where the characters stop and hug each other to avoid the police, not in the movie.
No, it was not in the movie. Mm-hmm. It's true. It was... I didn't even see... Here's my thing. I love a buddy movie with the power of the sun. So I will go to see almost any buddy movie. And a buddy movie that has two women in it is a new genre. There's only a couple of them in existence. And so this was a really, really funny movie. And it had really good action in it. But it was also kind of a mess. It was sloppy. Mm-hmm. Because they don't know how to do it yet. Like Thor Ragnarok is a buddy movie, right?
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
So they have figured out how dudes quip at each other and how to film that and how to make that look and how it is seamlessly in with the action. And this, like, there was a great scene where they're both tied up and they're revealing things that they know each other about each other because they're friends. Mm-hmm. And the woman who's torturing them is... she's like, how do you know this? And it almost worked. It was real close to having that sort of streamlined, awesome. The cuts just have to be a little different. The timing's a little bit different.
So do you think it was a writing issue or an editing issue?
I think it was an editing issue.
Ah. Oh, interesting.
I do think it's an editing issue.
You know, editing can suck the life out of comedy, too. I mean, if it's not edited properly.
It was edited perfectly for comedy.
Mm-hmm.
It was edited weirdly for action.
Oh, okay.
Because they felt almost a little not separate movies, not two tracks, but there was like it was, you know, when you're driving and you have to take a jog. every time they would do that, and then once they were in an action scene and they were quipping, it worked.
Mm-hmm.
But getting from that to that, there would be like this weird disconnect, right? Be like, oh, okay, all right, and the same thing happened in The Heat. Which is a buddy movie with Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy.
Right.
And in the famous buddy movie, I'm the only one who liked Tank Girl.
I love Tank Girl.
You love Tank Girl?
Tank Girl's amazing.
Tank Girl with Jet and Tank Girl? It was fantastic.
Anything that's a Lori Petty vehicle, I'm on board with.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Well, let me ask you this because... So Mila Kunis is her, she's great. I loved her in Bad Moms.
Okay.
And so Bad Moms.
She's great in that 70s show. Too.
She's great in that 70s show.
She's great in Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yeah,
she's great in Forgetting. She really knows.
Now I want to go back and watch all of
Mila's movies.
Yeah.
A Mila marathon.
Because Bad Moms, when that movie came out, I really liked it. And they did do, it was that genre, but mainly with women. And they did it funny.
It was a group, an ensemble
Bridesmaids
cast, right?
Is also pretty amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they cut that well. Now, it's not an action movie, so I understand that's the trick. Now, with an action film, you have to have... The action has to be exciting, obviously. And then if you're going to have the quippiness... I've seen
before
so many...
Before and during.
Yeah. It can ruin it.
Yeah. It's a hard row.
Yeah.
Do you remember... you know who did it perfectly was Midnight Run.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
It's that movie was freaking seamless.
It's so that wow, that's a great example when he would do that thing like
Charles Grodin
Robert De Niro.
Thank you, Robert De Niro.
That new actor, Robert De Niro.
The other Italian guy from The Godfather. I don't know a lot about it. It's a
from Analyze That.
It was the last time he was funny before he tried to be funny.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was like he was so funny in that movie. And then
that's a great example because they told him, you be Robert De Niro.
Yes, please.
You be Robert De Niro. Grodin will handle the comedy load and the situations where you're being leather jacket, ex-cop, tough guy Robert De Niro.
That'll be funny. Hilarious.
That'll be hilarious because Grodin, when they were like, you want to go eat? And he's like, if you try to run, I know you'll hit me with a thing and a guy and a thing. Right? You know what I mean? Like, and he goes, okay. And the other thing, when he calls, this is a great scene when he's calling, his Bond guy.
Oh, right.
Joe Pantaleone, and he's like, if you don't, I'm gonna. After they've started to bond, him and Grodin, and he goes, if you don't, I'm gonna kill him and put him in a ditch. And he just shakes it off. Goes to Grodin like, I'm just saying that. That's brilliant.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's not asking him, like, meet the Fockers, he's being wacky.
Right.
Right. Well, I don't want to see De Niro.
Never underestimate the power of a straight man.
I mean, that's what, like, the Zucker brothers got so right, and why I think Airplane and the Naked Gun movies and Top Secret are so amazing, and no one's been able to do it like that ever since. It's because they hired legitimate dramatic actors.
Yeah.
Leslie Nielsen is known as a comedic actor, but that's not where he came from.
Now,
he was all drama, and he delivers it like he's in a drama.
Peter Graves.
Yeah.
Robert Stack. Yep.
These guys, come in and just Robert Stack it up.
Exactly.
That's all I need you to do.
Well, say these ridiculous things with absolute conviction.
I mean, you go all the way back to vaudeville. I mean, you've got, like, would Costello be as funny without a habit?
No.
You know, and, how many jokes did Abbott actually deliver? You know, it was all about being the straight man and setting up the joke, you know, for the punchline.
Do you remember Murphy Brown, the guy who played Jim Dial?
He was a
serious actor and a musical theater actor. And so when he had to come and play that wooden, you know, that wooden character on Murphy Brown, it's not the best example. I'm going to retreat into the shrubbery.
So The Spy Who Dumped Me, though, is it worth seeing, or did
totally
you, okay?
And I want to see it again because I want to see if I'm wrong about that, because it was just what it was. Is it was just a little sloppy, and I love that they gave it that.
Yeah.
You know, it was like when you look at, like, those different. When you look at, like, there just aren't that many of them, right? Yeah. So you can look at them. There's, on one hand, I can count them.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you look at Wonder Woman, she wasn't funny. She didn't have to be.
No.
There was no need for it. It was all action. And so that one.
Chris Pine could deliver a couple quippy lines around her.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Gone from The Office.
So it was more streamlined. So that's why Wonder Woman was beautiful. You know, it was just a gorgeous movie start to finish. And there wasn't a false step.
And again, the comedic moments in Wonder Woman were her sincerely being fish out of water.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why would you have to dress that way?
That scene entirely.
A good movie has a little bit of all these ingredients, but I agree with you that, like, how Shaun of the Dead, for example, or Hot Fuzz, they'll take these two different genres and treat them both on equal measure. It's not like, oh, the horror is an afterthought or the action is an afterthought.
Point.
You look at, like, the Sacha Baron Cohen movie.
Or Get Out,
Brothers Grimsby. Does anyone remember that movie?
I don't.
Nobody does, because it was directed by the guy who did Now You See Me and all these action movies.
Mm-hmm.
And so the action was first, and the comedy felt tacked on.
An afterthought.
And here it seems like the opposite, that it was like a buddy movie, but then the action was kind of like not seamed in.
Right. And I think that it's because I think that there's, and it was a new director too. I think that, I don't know who directed
this. When you mix genres, you got to get that mix right.
It's a learned skill, like anything, of course.
Mm-hmm.
The director is, I think it's,
it's a woman, if I remember.
Susan Fogel, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. And...
Oh, did anyone see Blockers?
No.
Blockers surprised me. That's the one of the three parents who are trying to stop their daughters from having, like, sex on prom night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's very kind of like female-driven American Pie, but with the parents just messing up everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. And that was, like, a first-time female director. And it was amazing and raunchy and smart. And I also really liked Spy, the other Melissa McCarthy movie.
Yeah. Spy was really good, too.
I remember Spy. Yeah, I liked Spy.
Spy was really good.
Who played, like, the super agent at the beginning?
Jude Law. And then you had Rose Byrne.
Yeah, it was...
The interaction between them was really good.
The Heat is actually playing on Delta.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the deep...
Airplane
movies, back of the chair movie.
Yeah,
I watch a lot of back of the chair movies, you guys, so I've been watching. But The Heat, I cry so hard. I love The Heat. I watch anything with
Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock, and keeping up with Melissa McCarthy, she was genuinely panting at a couple of scenes where I was like, she's been looking for Melissa McCarthy her entire life, because she's wanted to do. She's always wanted to do big physical comedies, and Miss Congeniality being a perfect example of
Forces of Nature, Love Potion Number 9.
Right. Mm-hmm. And some of them worked and some of them didn't, but this thing worked. The Heat was amazing.
So let me ask you this about Spyro Dumpman, and then I guess we'll move on to the next film real quick. But Jackie, do you think the reason when you say you want to see it a second time, do you think, you know, as comedians, we come in so much more critical of a comedy movie typically. Do you think that...
Yeah, and
having big expectations and wanting it to be great, you think that...
Right. I don't know that I was entirely fair to it, which is why I want to go again. I think you're right.
Now, on the second viewing, do you think you could go either way on it?
No.
No, just one direction.
No, I think I'm just going to like it more.
Just going to like it more.
What I'm going to do, I don't know if you know this, but I saw the movie High Spirits 26 times.
Oh, I love that movie.
It's such a dumb movie. Did you see it?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, my God. You've seen High Spirits?
Shelley Long, right?
No.
No. That's in...
It's with... It's Beverly D'Angelo.
Is that Peter O'Toole?
Steve Gutenberg. Peter O'Toole.
Yeah.
And the best thing about it...
The ghost.
And Daryl Hannah.
The ghost. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking... Yeah.
The best thing about it is Liam Neeson. In speaking of Taken, Liam Neeson has a small role as a ghost, and he is the best thing about that damn movie. Steve Gutenberg, you know, he's just
better than his role in Krull.
Oh my God!
I get him and Judge Reinhold mixed up.
Yeah,
so they're the same guy.
Said that. Oh my God!
Hasn't everyone said that? It's like Dabney Coleman's the poor man's Gene Hackman. Nobody said that.
And so they have now.
Exactly. Write that down.
So
knit it on something. Right.
So the last
Spyro Dumpman, I would totally recommend it.
All right. Last movie is I saw a streaming documentary. The Power of Grayskull, the definitive history of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
How late at night was this?
This was pretty late at night, or early in the morning. I'm not exactly sure, but it came up as
children.
A recommendation. Yeah. Yes, but they don't remember He-Man. This is all like.
They don't remember their father.
Yeah.
I'm saying you got to drive him to school.
Yeah.
I'm not saying wake them up.
You got He-Man.
Come on, it's first period. Let me finish this documentary about a doll. Now stop.
Can't your kids walk home from school?
So this is an interesting movie because we're kind of at a golden age of documentaries right now where there are more being made than ever before. And it's interesting to see that, like, sometimes there's become subgenres of documentaries. I would also almost call this like a popcorn documentary where it feeds into nostalgia. It just shows you something that you may have grown up with or you may have liked as a kid, and then it just gives you an hour
channel.
And a half of it. Exactly, yeah. Because, like, I remember, like, there's a couple Lego documentaries, like, things like that, where it's a very, very specific audience.
Like, it's member berries.
Yeah. I'm sure there's going to be one on the Garbage Pail Kids at some point.
Can't wait.
Yeah, and I really felt like you're watching this documentary. It was specifically crafted, like... There's not going to be any hard-hitting insights on any of this. You know, they're going to interview the people from Hasbro and Mattel and, you know, and occasionally some of the writers of the animated show.
Even?
And, it really kind of felt...
Is there a link?
That way. Yeah. But it was interesting. I was watching it more from, like, a filmmaking documentary standpoint where it's like, well, is it a good documentary? It's just a different type of documentary. Like, it doesn't give any insight. It doesn't give any... it doesn't give any revelations. All it does is feed into your nostalgia and pop culture fun. That's all it does.
Okay. So it doesn't do that thing that we say a lot of good documentaries do, which is bring you into a subculture you didn't know about, you kind of knew about, or maybe you didn't care about, and then you watch the doc and you go, oh, wow, this is so much more intriguing.
It's literally the opposite.
Yeah. You didn't like this show or didn't care about it, not for you.
If you didn't have these toys or whatever, it's...
Are your friends tired of listening to you talk about He-Man?
Yeah.
Then go home, settle in, and just yell at the television about how excited you are that they're telling you all this stuff you already know.
Siri,
that's
find
awesome.
Me He-Man documentary.
Yeah. Awesome.
And it's also like we're watching the documentary. Obviously, you're going to get the toy makers and, you know, some of the writers of the comics and the shows. But then they have these, you know, I don't know how they find these people, but it must be in conventions or whatever. You have like these... adult collectors that, they film them in their houses where literally behind them is every He-Man toy ever made still in the package.
Oh.
That kind of thing where you're like, okay, and they always have a British accent. So I'm not sure what's going on over there.
They live in Nebraska.
Yeah, and they live in Nebraska. Yeah,
they need to do something that makes them sound sane.
Yeah, yeah.
Because otherwise, if they're just like, this is my He-Man collection, you're going to get locked up in a second. But it's like, I collect He-Man characters. So it's like, oh, well, there's got to be something to it. It's very posh.
You do accents. Yeah. Oh, my God. Simon does accents.
Yeah.
Now I'm psyched.
So it's the kind of, honestly, it's a documentary where it's almost like a fan fiction, you know, or fan, you know, fan service, pretty much. It doesn't bring you into the world. It's a world, oh, I remember this world. I want to be immersed in it for an hour and a half. I mean, there's interviews with Dolph Lundgren talking about the live action movie. I mean,
I'd watch that.
Yeah,
now there, I'm in. Yeah, that was my doorway.
Yes.
Yeah, there's only like, because you're watching, like, well, if it's
Dolph forever.
if it's an hour and a half on He-Man, there's no topic you're going to miss. You know, you'll be able to fit everything in an hour and a half, from the toys, the live action, the animation.
This must
that's
be
it. Yeah.
Another thing, most documentaries have so much extra footage. Like, wow, we could have cut together four or five different storylines. This one's like no, we just barely patched this together.
Yeah, yeah, we'll put it together.
Let Dolph talk a little longer, and we'll get to 88
minutes. Is that on Netflix as well?
Yes. Okay. Uh-huh. So honestly, it was the kind of thing, if you have any nostalgia for the character of the toy, you'll enjoy this documentary. If you grew up and have no idea who He-Man is, there's no entry point for you to really go in and really enjoy this documentary.
However, if you're going to be in a room full of He-Man aficionados and you want to BS your way through it, maybe this is the perfect
If you're
crash
on your way
course.
To a He-Man cocktail party, this is the best primer you could get.
Those are everywhere.
Yeah.
Is that a Tinder swipe?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we have an ad.
Well, how about it?
HelloFresh is back as a sponsor. We love HelloFresh. I use it. It's great. And we just had a pineapple chicken quesadilla. Fantastic. They're easy to make. Some of them are more complicated than others, but we have the family plan, and it's great. We do two meals a week, and it helps us eat healthier, and it tastes good. So it's great. They have there's a 20-minute meal on the classic menu for when you don't have that much time. There's all different selections. You could get classic, veggie, or family. There's what's great is you don't have to plan dinner, spend money on takeout, or worry about gathering ingredients, because HelloFresh gives you literally everything in the box. And there's a lot of one-pot recipes for really quick cooking and minimal cleanup. And your account is easy to manage because you can choose your delivery date. And let's say you're going on vacation, you could stop delivery for a number of weeks, whatever you want to do. It's very flexible. But here's the interesting thing, Graham. I don't know if you know this. They're upping the ante there over at HelloFresh.
What? That's insane.
You know, you're getting $60 off this time. You get a total of $60 off. That's $20 off your first three boxes. All you got to do is go to HelloFresh.com/ComedyFilmNerd60 and enter ComedyFilmNerd60. So that's for $60 off. That's $20 off your first three boxes. HelloFresh.com/ComedyFilmNerd60 and enter ComedyFilmNerd60. Boom.
How about it?
All right. You know, we got some Patreon ad people, too.
Yeah, guys. You know, for $50 a month, you get we will read your URL or your business or whatever, your non-for-profit, on every episode.
And we don't discriminate. If you're for-profit, too, it's not like we don't like you. Yeah. You could do either.
Sure.
Non-for-profit or profit.
Whatever you need.
Yeah, yeah. We'll take care of it. And if you have some weird mix of, like... sometimes profit, sometimes not for profit, fine. You know, I don't know how you would manage that, but...
That sounds like our show.
Yeah,
sometimes
yeah.
Sometimes we make a profit, sometimes we don't.
So, you know who's back? Johnny Rulon. Johnny Rulon is promoting his novel Green Cheek, and it's available on Amazon in both digital and hard copy, an experimental stream of consciousness novel, which follows the exploits of the muse Calliope and our immortal lover T.S. on a journey through time, dreams, and the hidden places of a supernatural America. The website is happyhorrorshowproductions.com. And also we have the Audacity Performing Arts Project, which produces after-school performing arts projects in poor, underfunded, and low-performing schools. Performing arts education is not a luxury. Please visit them at audacityperformingarts.com, audacityperformingarts.com. And from Chris Parker Howard, Coffee Over Suicide is a dramedy podcast about choosing life over death one cup of coffee at a time. New episodes every Friday, and you can find out more at randumify.com. randumify.com. And our good friend from Australia, Alice Fraser, co-host of the Bugle podcast and the host of Tea with Alice, brings you a series of three genre-bending solo stand-up shows that explore the boundary between comedy and tragedy. They were recorded back-to-back at a three-hour show in the Melbourne International Comedy Festival in April 2018. That is a long time to do stand-up.
Yeah,
3 hours.
That's impressive.
Yeah, with a binaural microphone, which creates an immensely immersive listening experience. All you got to do is Google Alice Fraser Trilogy for more info. So why don't we jump right into the comics and comics Kickstarter, and then we'll go to the trailers after that. So
support all these things on Patreon, you guys. Yeah. Support these podcasts. It's a great
way. I wanted to know if Simon had seen any movies recently.
Oh,
yeah, because
what have you seen?
My homework. It's a good question. I guess the most recent thing I saw was Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Oh, good call. Good call.
You just say Marvel. It's like Pavlov.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, which is a good segue eventually into comics.
Right, right.
But I thought it was a lot of fun. I mean,
You saw the first one, right?
Yeah, I saw the first one. I love the first one. I thought the first one's amazing.
You like the Marvel movies in general?
I do. I do. I don't... I don't expect that much from them, and they keep surprising me about how intricately they're weaving things. Just like reading a comic book itself, you know, there are some things I'm going to gravitate more towards or less towards, and I'm not supposed to be thrilled by everything because there's other people that need to be satiated.
Right.
But I respect the way they've said the thing I've always thought was so ridiculous and close-minded about superhero movies were, why do you have to reinvent all these great stories? You've got basic storyboards already done and scripts already written and great characters, and you don't have to bog it down in a like bastardized origin story.
But there's only about 50 to 60 years worth of material to look through.
This is true, and I am asking a lot of these people, but they know there are supposedly some creatives out there that should be in charge of this. So
now it's interesting, Simon, because it's the same as like us watching comedy movies. Like, you've been in comic books how many years?
A lot. And animation as well,
So you, when you look at a comic book movie, you probably look at it with a little more critical eye, too.
Yeah.
Because you're very familiar with the source material.
I know how good it can be. And so it's never that I judge anything for trying its best and failing.
Okay.
I'll judge things because I know that they could have done better, but it feels like they were lazy. And I feel the same about a comedy script. Like, I see really talented people make a movie together, and I'm like, and you're allowed to phone it in. You're allowed to cash a check and just, like, do that between projects. But when it's billed as something that you were excited about, that you did it with your own company, that you did it with your friends, I mean, you know, put a little effort in it, Ridiculous Six.
Yeah.
I wish I got that.
Adam Sandler, Western.
Oh, classic.
Yeah.
You know what's weird?
It's
on Netflix.
Yeah. It's a Netflix original.
It's every time I stopped watching Adam Sandler movies when I realized they weren't for me. The third movie in a row where he's peeing against something.
That's Big Daddy, I believe.
Big Daddy, but every movie has him in a bathroom peeing.
Oh, yeah.
And there's just, we get to hear the zip, and then we get to imagine him whipping it out. And I'm just like, I'm good.
Yeah.
But I did see...
Charlie Chaplin always had the mustache. No one's given him for it. Everyone's
but
got
But I will
shtick.
Say this, is I just saw his stand-up, and I was psyched.
I've heard that the stand-up... Stand-up's actually really good.
The new
self-deprecating.
The new stuff is personal. It's interesting, and it had some punchlines. So I thought, oh, good. Maybe he won't make 50 first dates again, or whatever.
Listen. I grew up on his comedy albums, and I was a big, big fan of his like comedy records. And like the Hanukkah song was really big for me as a Jewish Mexican growing up in Mexico. But yeah, Happy Madison and Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore.
Those were your two faves?
Those were the two that, like, I was age appropriate.
Which was the golf one?
That was Happy Madison.
Okay, I liked Happy Madison. Yeah, that's
Happy Gilmore. God damn it. Happy Madison is his production company.
The production company,
Oh, I get it. Oh, I see. Okay.
So, So let's talk about Comics Comics. This is a Kickstarter, and we got about a week left.
It's live right now. And the conceit was our editor and creator of this, Brendan Wright, had this idea for a long time. He loves comics. He's worked at Dark Horse. He knows the comic book world way more entrenched than I am in it. And he also loves the stand-up comedy world. And one of the things we both realize is that, well, at the heart of every good comic book is, you know, is humor and pain. And at the heart of any really good you know, long-standing comedy career, there's humor and pain. And a lot of comedians love funny books. They love comics. They grew up with them. A lot of comedians have written for comics, and but they've dipped their toe in it, or they've been able to just go into pre-established characters within a framework, and or given a kind of like offshoot that's non-canonical. And we're like, what if...
Could you say non-canonical again?
Non-canonical.
Nice.
And I love that you didn't even trip over it. Yeah. That's great. So,
the first time that word's been on the show.
Ever.
Well done.
Thank you.
All right.
I was saving it.
Yeah.
So the idea to open it up and open this playground up so that comedians can tell any story that they want. It could be autobiographical. It could be funny. It can be serious. It could be a one-panel Gary Larson strip. It could be anything they want, because the breadth of what comedians are and how they access their art, and the breadth of what comics are and how it accesses its art, I think it's a great way to double up. And so we don't limit ourselves to superhero illustrators or independent comic book illustrators. We find a story, we find the perfect artist to match it with, or we sometimes ask an artist, who's your favorite comedian? Let's reach out to them. Or the comedian, who's your favorite artist that you really love? Let's reach out to them. So. You know, it's about branching these things together. It's supporting a lot of up-and-coming comedians and artists as much as it's giving people that we love, whose careers we've been following and whose relationship, who we have a relationship with, to kind of tell the stories that they've never been allowed to tell or have had sitting in the back of their journal. And they're like, I don't know what to do with this, but it's a good story. And we want to bring it to life with Comics Comics. And hopefully it'll be a series.
And how many are planned?
Right now, it's 4 issues that will all be released in hardcover. Right now, we're raising the funds to do the first one, because it's an anthology series, and we have all sorts of different artists and comedians, ranging from like brand new and established. We want to make everybody feel like they're the same. We're giving everybody the exact same compensation, and we want to be able to print a beautiful book and to ship it everywhere and to get it in the hands of all these bookstores. And that takes promotion, that takes time. And SBI Press is kind of it's a satellite of Starburns, but it's still kind of an independent press. It's still all insularly funded within ourselves. And so, yeah, we need help and support to kind of be able to compensate and tell all of these comedians and these artists that they're going to have the best version of their story kind of brought to life.
Where do they go to get it?
It's Starburns Presents Comics Comics on Kickstarter, or that's
and it's a great entry point. It's only like $6. Like you can get the digital version. Like
yeah, but there's and we have all
I,
sorts of.
I pledged. Good for I was you, ready. Chris. I can't wait to get it.
Thank you.
Right, because you can get the hardcover for $12.
Yep.
So
Jackie, tell us about your contribution to the book.
Well,
like, with your story.
Brendan asked me if I wanted to do it, and I was like, because I've been. I think it's been established that I've been reading some comic books since. And I read a lot of different comic books. The only ones I don't read are sort of your Crumb, the sort of Sad Sack, Slice of Life, Oprah book of the month.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In other news, laced, a little critical. I'll let me to backpedal.
And also laced with pornography.
And laced with pornography. Ooh. Yes.
You just turned her into a Crumb reader. Yeah.
Was it Ironwood? Did you ever read Willingham's Ironwood?
Oh, no.
It's he wrote Fables and Jack of Fables, Jack Offables.
Yeah.
He wrote a porn comic book before. Anyway, I have only seen it. I haven't read it. Anyway, so I'm not above it. I'm not above anything, I'm sure. But the crazy thing... Okay, so I've been reading comic books, and I would like to write comic books, but I don't know how to do anything except for stand-up comedy. Because stand-up comedy, you just go to somewhere where there's stand-up comedy and you stand there. And then eventually they say there's an open mic. And that was 30 years ago. And so since then, I do some version of that and I continue to do stand-up comedy. But I want to write comic books. And Brendan contacted me and said, we understand you enjoy comic books. Do you have a story that could possibly work with this? And so what I did was not read the contract, and so I didn't know that it was a Kickstarter. But it's fascinating because I've been working with this artist, and I've been working with Brendan to edit it, and so I've written my first comic book script, and Brendan Wright is an amazing editor.
Yeah.
That guy clearly has been working in the comic book industry for 30 years, and because he was just like, it's great. How about this? How about that? And it was just three drafts of this story, and it's a story that I have told on stage a couple of times, and it's and so there's a comedic element to it, a stand-up comedy element to it, but it's also it has just sort of wacky. I mean, it's also just a slice of life kind of, you know, I complain about the slice of life business, but it is a slice of life story that I'm telling. But it comes back around. Exactly,
yeah.
As it will always. But it's, yeah, it's super fun. But Patton Oswalt's doing it, and Sarah Benicasa's doing it. And is it just
Paul
the three?
Paul Scheer, too.
Paul Scheer's in the second issue, and Elliot Rahal, and... Carolyn May, there's a lot of up and coming comedians as well, and what I love is that the styles are so completely different, and we let anybody tell any story they want, so it ranges from funny to strange to sad to beautiful, which I think are the four core ingredients to make anything really resonate with a lot of people. So we're very excited, and Unlikely Patriot is such a good story that actually has all those four elements in it. There are moments of like where you sit back and you know you think about what happened, but there's levity in it. The art is really amazing.
Yeah, the art's she did a really good job. This it's super cartoony, like because I didn't, you know, it's not the kind of story that deserves or not deserves. It doesn't need like that hand painted, you know, those gorgeous.
It doesn't need a Dave McKean cover, is what you're saying.
It's a, who does Astro City. The Kurt Busiek, is he the artist as well? Oh, no, he's not. I don't think so. But anyway, but it's this sort of very beautiful, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't need the Fiona Staples of Saga.
Yes, yes, it doesn't. Yeah, it's not a watercolor situation. Yeah. It's more of a it's more comic booky, traditional sort of, and it's beautiful. This woman, I forget her name. She's great, and you should totally go to the Kickstarter and look for her damn name, Cation. Anyway, awesome. But yeah, it's Starburns Comics, right?
Yeah, Starburns Comics.
And like I said, there's only a couple days left, so check it out, and it's a real low buy, and you can get like a copy for as low as $6, and it's delivered right through Comixology.
Yes, that's right, and you can also, there are tons of tiers with original art, original... sketches. We're making Funko Pops in the original hand sculpted Funko Pops for any of the comedians
in the
series or any of the artists. And then we have tiers where we can even, you know, add buy in the comic book. You can ask someone to marry you. You can promote your own. You can promote your podcast within reason. We'll work with you to edit an actual full page ad in the comic.
Nice. So cool.
It's a lot of cool stuff.
All right, should we get to some trailers?
Let's watch it.
Trailers.
All right.
They're called trailers because they used to be at the end of the movies. You know that? Oh, they trail.
Wait a minute.
How do we skip this horrifying ad?
That was hilarious. I thought you were talking into a shoe phone. I heard sound and then you looking at your shoe. Like,
well, Get Smart.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's like, well, you probably got that on eBay.
That's the Get Smart phone. Yeah, it's been around for a long time.
Exactly.
Elegant person.
So
our son has brought us together, actually.
Come here, little dude.
Can me and Miles have a play date today?
Your drink? Does your kid drink? Maybe? I mean, it's never too early to start teaching.
I think you're joking, but great. J'adore mon poisson
rouge. Every time we do this, I feel so high tone.
Want to trade confessions?
No.
Come on. What's the wildest thing you've ever done?
She's an enigma, my wife. You can get closer. You can never quite reach her. She's like a beautiful ghost.
Did you just take my picture?
Erase it. I guess I'm probably not the kind of person you're normally friends with.
Oh, you do not want to be friends with me. Trust me.
Stephanie, I need your help. Are you okay?
Mm-hmm. I'm fine, but I do need just a simple favor. Can you come over?
Yeah. 5 days ago, Emily went missing.
Feels girly gone girl.
I'll warn you. You go poking around in her past, you're going to find something that is terrifying. She was not a normal person like you or me. I've never seen such a beautiful girl.
Don't go poking around in her past.
You want to be so invisible.
You don't know what you're going
to
find.
I smell her, Sean. I smell her perfume like a ghost.
Yeah, it's just you being paranoid.
I saw my mom.
She told me to say hi to Stephanie.
What happened?
Were you aware that he took out an extra $4 million life insurance policy on Emily before she disappeared?
People do terrible things for their own reasons.
He thought you knew more than you were letting on.
Did he do Ghostbusters too?
Yeah,
the remake. I like the fact that she's in a magician's outfit for half the trailer. So, you know, I honestly feel like this is the kind of movie where I think the trailer is not doing it any favors.
No.
Yeah,
like
it might be a better movie.
It might
than
be a really
trailer.
Cool, interesting thriller. But the trailer is like just give me Gone Girl. Like that was the note for the trailer.
Yeah, I too often they ruin interesting thrillers like this
by giving you too much.
Way too much in the trailer. Mm-hmm. I didn't know, a $4 million life insurance policy. Oh,
my sister used to say when we would watch trailers like this, she's like, I feel like I should mail them $6. I feel guilty now.
I don't know. I like Blake Lively. I mean, the trailer makes me mad.
I like the ingredients. It just doesn't seem like I would want to eat that. Everything seems like it's good, but it also...
I like peanut butter and chocolate, but I don't want this Reese's peanut butter cup now.
No, yeah. It's also dipped in, like, mint jelly. And
is it about day drinking? What's it about?
It seems like no one cares that she disappeared, too. It's sort of like the husband's like, stop, like, we're all having dinner. Like,
look, nobody look for her.
Nobody look for her. And she's like, but I'm obsessed. It's single white female reverse Gone Girl. I'm very uncomfortable with
it
how confused it was.
It might be better than that. I hope it's better than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's one of the problems that doesn't seem to be getting fixed with Hollywood is let the directors of the films have a say in the trailers.
Let them cut it.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't even let them have a say. Let the directors sit in the goddamn edit room and go, this is what I want the trailer to do.
Right.
Yeah.
No, but we typically found that... No, shut
What's
it.
What's the last great trailer you guys saw? I have mine in my pocket. I'm in the chamber. That's why I brought it.
When I say great, I think it's the one that fooled me the most.
Okay.
When I saw it, I got so excited about the movie, and then the movie was awful. It was Mission Impossible 2 that John Woo directed.
Oh, that's a while ago.
That was an amazing... But that was the one that got me, I think, angry. Like, because the trailer was so interesting and so good, and it was cut together in such a great way. And then the movie was like, oh, none of these scenes are even connected in the trailer. From the trailer.
What's your trailer?
I think Hereditary. That trailer really got me.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that trailer gave me a lot without giving me anything. Right. It got me very excited and creeped out, and I like horror a lot, so...
You know what? I will say this, speaking of horror, is the one that was a great trailer and the movie delivered was the original Conjuring.
Oh, yes.
I thought that was, like, a really great, creepy trailer, and the movie delivered on that. But the trailer didn't give too much away. Mm-hmm. It was, like, got you just creeped out enough that you made you want to see the movie.
Yeah. The Meg.
I was going to go the Dirty Muppet movie.
Oh, there you go. Happy Time Murders.
Yeah. That one, the trailer looked funny. The movie, not so much.
No, did you see it?
No, I judged it from the trailer. I think
you were wise.
Right, because I was like, I bet you this is horrible, but the trailer looks really good.
I said the same thing. Mm-hmm. Like, man, this trailer looks like it could be awesome. And everyone was like, no, Graham.
Right, I feel like I saw the movie in the trailer. Yeah. I was like, that'll do.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were a couple of dick jokes. My life is complete. I'm good.
It's sad because that group of people who made that, Henson Alternative, it's Brian Henson. And
it's Brian Jim Henson's son.
Yeah, it's Jim Henson's son. It's the same puppeteers who work at Henson Studios. And they have a show that they do called Puppet Up or Puppets Unstrung that is a dirty improv Muppet show.
Live show.
And it's wonderful. Yeah. And I've seen it many times and I love it. And I'm so excited that they were making a movie. But it's like, try... Up like a live event, seeing the puppeteers, being part of it, that helps this lowbrow humor. But when the entire movie hinges on puppets, it's like Sausage Party.
Right.
I love the conceit, but it's not just enough. Like South Park tries to make a point on top of, it's 8-year-olds and they're cartoons and they're swearing.
And they're swearing,
Right. Yeah, the Sausage Party was also one where I was just like, I think I just saw the movie and I don't need to see more of this because it's going to be more of this.
Exactly.
Yep. So. I'm good.
Yeah, 2 minutes was good.
Yeah, and I liked it. So is that something?
So now
should I send them $6? Send your sister $6.
You know, send them $4. So now this next movie, to be clear, is Mark Wahlberg not shooting anybody.
Oh, interesting.
What is the point?
Daddy's Home 3.
I know what you two are doing with this house, but what are you going to do with 5 bedrooms? You guys are obviously never having kids.
What was that look? I did not do a look.
You're doing a look right now.
There's no look.
Have a good fight, guys.
There's so many kids in foster care, and they're having an orientation.
Ellie, people who take in foster kids are really special. The kind of people who volunteer when it's not even a holiday. We don't even volunteer on a holiday.
Over 500,000 children are currently in foster care. The county puts these on because they can match a lot of kids and parents quickly.
Look at the big kids.
Everybody's avoiding them. I'm going to go and say hi.
But they're teenagers, okay? They use drugs, and they watch people playing video games on YouTube. We're not equipped for any of that.
Hi! Just FYI, we can all hear you. It's okay. Go mingle with the kiddies and don't give it another thought. Bye-bye.
She was cool.
Lizzie comes with 2 younger siblings.
3 kids? Too much.
Oh, my God.
They're adorable.
Why would you show us that? That's wrong.
Here we are.
Make yourself at home, because you are at home.
Do you like the Clippers?
Oh, I'm more of a Lakers fan.
Oh, no!
You hit me because I like the Clippers.
I think the Clippers are awesome.
They were smart for trading Blake Griffin. Their best player.
Just stay there until the fire department comes, okay?
You're just another white lady who wants to adopt charity orphans to make you feel good about yourself. Pretend, Mom.
We might have a little bit of a knack for this.
Oh. I beg to differ.
This stuff takes time. Lizzie had to parent Juan and Lita all by herself. This is never going to be easy, but with some structure and love, you could make your house a home.
You. Please just go away.
When I'm pissed, you know what I like to do?
Really?
All right, let me fix it, okay?
Thanks, Daddy.
I just got my first daddy. Oh, what the?
You suck! I want some of that. Hey, honey, can I help you with anything?
Nope.
What are you doing to my phone?
Look at what this boy texted her.
Is this that kid, Jacob? Hey!
I saw the picture you sent her, Jacob.
You're lucky I'll end your life right now, Carrot Top.
We're gonna call your mom.
You're going down today.
So what do you think of that, Jacob?
My name is not Jacob.
What? Okay.
Well, the kid gets hit in the face twice.
Yeah, so. You know what? That was the kid version of Kevin James falling down. Yeah.
And you know what? That movie looks terrible, but I guarantee you if I watch it, I will cry. Yeah. I will 1,000% cry.
You sort of saved that trailer for me because I was just like, oh, make it end. Make it end.
Yeah.
It's one of those, it's a feel good, I don't know, do they kill the dog at the end? Anything? It's a little old yeller?
It's kind of manipulative. Pushy, feel-goody type movie. Like, look how terrible these parents are, but, oh, these kids are going to change their lives.
I'm just
look
very curious to see how it's going to turn out. I have no idea if the family's actually going to come together.
I have no idea
if the kids are going to relate to this new environment well.
Are they going to have to give the kids back?
Yeah, that's definitely a real possibility.
Are they all
going like to
learn
this.
Something about themselves?
Yeah.
Are all of the jokes... Did we just see them in the trailer?
Yeah.
And when they turn 18, they kick the kids out of the house.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
they all show up with garbage bags.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's one of the worst foster care is one of the saddest things in the world.
It's an ad
for foster care is what it is.
It's basically how Song of the South is criticized for whitewashing a post-slavery South. This is sort of like, foster families are great. All the kids are sassy and colorful.
And
they love playing with Jenga.
Yeah.
In fact, they're it's insane.
They're not troubled youth that have been abused and abandoned their entire life.
And taken advantage of.
Get a construction dad to let you swing a sledgehammer? Yeah.
That's good
times. It's going to be great.
I'm
glad Tig and Tom Segura getting work. They're fun people.
Yes, they are.
God
this seems
them.
Like it's part of the We Bought a Zoo family. If I owned We Bought a Zoo, I would put Instant Family right next to it on the shelf.
So this is a genre.
Yeah.
The We Bought a Zoo genre.
We bought a family. We bought a zoo.
Yeah.
They did buy a family.
Bought a family.
Now we're going to fix it up and it's going to change our lives.
Yeah. Everybody learns.
Yeah.
Why don't you work on your relationship? Anybody want to talk to that couple? Yeah. Instead of just adding three more wild cards to it?
You got a giant house. You're never going to have a family. Ew, gross. Getting pregnant. But maybe we can buy
stretch
some kids.
Marks. Let's just buy some kids.
I mean, that's my takeaway. For like, why do they even put that in? The conflict is that they're a couple who never wants children. Yeah. But what if they wanted children?
And the inciting incident is a... inciting incident for the film is an insult from a contractor.
Yeah.
That's what sends
what'd
you down
you
the rabbit hole of having kids.
I made a face? Yeah. Maybe we should get kids. Put that bitch in her place.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? I guess you're going to buy her some kids.
Yeah.
And then you're stuck raising them.
That'll learn her.
But then you'll get to be called dad first.
Yeah.
Anyway,
oh, my God.
Wow. All of a sudden, I'm enraged at this point.
Yeah.
I'm very upset. And so I don't understand what's happened.
All right. Let's go to DVDs and Blu-rays. Only two coming out. Ocean's 8. Did not see this movie.
Anyone see this?
Is it the... I've seen it.
Yeah.
Is it the eighth one? Or is it like the sixth one?
No, just there happened to be eight actresses
I know that,
that
that's
afford.
Why they call
yes.
it Ocean's 8, but I just thought it might have been fun if it coincidentally lined up as the eighth film. Because I have not seen any of the original, or I haven't seen the original, and I haven't seen any of the Clooney remakes.
Yeah,
I saw the original, and I saw the first Clooney remake, and I hate movies where people are having more fun than I am when I'm watching it.
Well, I went to see, segueing just slightly, there's a Richard Linklater movie called Everybody Gets Some, or something. Everybody Wants Some, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to see it with Dino Stamatopoulos and Duke Johnson, who work at Starburns, mm-hmm. and when we walked out of the movie... I turned to Dino because it's not like Dino only likes pre-code movies from the 1930s. Like the last good movie he saw was like Frankenstein. It's very surprising that he came and he went to this movie and we walk out and I was like, so what'd you think? And he goes, I've never had that much fun in my life. And I said, oh, you liked it? And he goes, no, I hated it because I've never had that much fun in my life.
Yeah.
And so I feel
was
you.
Was Ocean's 8 like that?
Ocean's 8 was a little like that.
Yeah.
It's actually, I mean, again, I haven't seen
the rest of the
other ones. I know that there's one where Julia Roberts plays Julia Roberts in it.
Yeah,
there's like the conceit that the world...
She's Ocean's 12 or something.
Yeah,
I don't know
which number she is.
But nobody else... There's a Julia Roberts in this world, but there isn't a every other famous person in the movie in this world. It pissed me off. It was fine, I guess. It's like Anne Hathaway's really good in it. Like surprisingly really good in it.
Oh,
and Awkwafina was great, and Mindy Kaling was great.
There's performances
that are good.
Name all eight.
Sarah Paulson, Thor Ragnarok villain.
Kat Denning?
Is she in it?
Oh, no.
No, she's in the Thor movies.
Who played Hela? Who played...
Cate Blanchett.
Thank you. Why am I back?
Yeah.
Cate Blanchett. To be fair,
it was an unfair challenge.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Mrs.
Doubtfire is in it.
Hello,
Mindy. Yeah. Yeah, she's the surprise at the end.
And the other DVD is Superfly. This is the remake that kind of came and went really
quickly.
You know,
they made a remake of Superfly.
It was a remake.
Exactly.
This is the problem with both of these films.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem with an all-female heist movie. Awesome. Why does it have to be
connected?
It doesn't have to be a remake or connected.
Right. Why does it
just make
to
a female
ocean,
heist movie?
Yeah.
Does it have to have ocean in the title?
Like the thing you saw was Taken, but it was with Jennifer Garner.
Yeah, Peppermint. Yeah.
It's fine. It's not like it's not connected to anything. The Spy Who Dumped Me is
just a spy movie.
That's it.
Just a weird romantic comedy that, by the way, great twist in the end, actually.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have even said that because now I don't want to look for it.
Exactly. So none of these movies need to be in the Cloverfield universe.
Totally.
Apparently, they could easily be.
Yeah,
in the Cloverfield.
All you need is 4 seconds of footage at the end, and then it's in the Cloverfield universe.
If you want it, Superfly was fine in its era. Just make a modern day drug gangster
or blaxploitation movie.
Whatever.
Yeah, you don't. It's fine.
Yeah. Big
we'll
hair is great.
Yeah.
Knock yourself out.
Cool.
Yeah. I saw a DVD. I bought the Deadpool DVD.
Yeah.
Oh, and, how was that, Jackie?
And there was a DVD extra that I had heard about.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it.
It was
the Baby Hitler one?
The Baby Hitler one.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was pretty tasteful.
Yeah.
Quite honestly, they did a nice job. They did a real nice, tasteful job.
I was prepared. I was prepared to
for it to be a goddamn nightmare.
To be
what
everyone
I
was imagining when they said that mm-hmm. scene exists, and then you watch that scene and you're like, oh no, that's how I imagined they would have gotten away with it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they decided not to during the credits. They decided not to play that card. Yeah. They're like, eh, we'll put it on the DVD. That'll be fine.
That's why people still get to experience it.
Yes.
Have you ever seen Future Man? There's a show on Hulu. It was produced by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, and it's kind of like The Last Starfighter. It's the conceit that there's this guy who plays video games, mm-hmm. and Paul Scheer is in the show. It's really great, and mm-hmm. he defeats this video game that's like impossible to defeat, and of course the soldiers from the future show up to recruit him.
Right.
It's Starfighter. He even says it. Oh, it's like
two pilot drones.
Yeah. It's The Last Starfighter. And they're like, we have no idea what that is.
Robert Preston shows up. And then from the dead.
Yeah.
Yes. But there is a lot of of really fun kind of like plays like that, that where they...
I own that movie. Yeah. Who doesn't own that movie?
Do you own Starfighter? Starfighter's
great.
A great movie.
That's good times.
Yeah. You know, you get to play video games and have a robot girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's and you get to... who played the alien in that movie? I can't remember now.
Oh.
The co-pilot.
Oh, I forget, but because he had a lot of makeup on. Yes. I wouldn't have recognized him anyway. But
it's not Louis Gossett Jr. That's from...
That's me. Enemy Mine.
That's Enemy Mine.
But I thought it was somebody... I can't remember now. Aaron, can you look that up? Last Starfighter alien sidekick.
It wasn't Louis Gossett Jr.? Now I think it's Louis Gossett Jr.
Mm-hmm. No, that was... He played in Enemy Mine.
Okay.
It's... But anyway.
Same year, probably.
Yeah. So has anyone seen the Superfly remake?
No, I haven't seen it. Mm-mm.
Who's in it?
It literally came and went. Like,
Who is Superfly?
That's a great question. I just, like, I can't, you know, I feel like I wouldn't, this is a movie, I don't know if I would, I love the original, I love that genre, I love that era.
I never watched the Sam Jackson Shaft either.
Like, yeah. Oh, I remember that. Right. Yeah,
it's
like,
it's one of those, like.
Dan O'Hurley?
Director X? Is that what it said?
Somebody more famous in Last Starfighter. Maybe you are all thinking of Enemy Mine. So, okay.
No idea.
Dan O'Hurley, he's in RoboCop. He's the guy who runs the
program. Trevor Jackson.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Did you guys notice who the director of the Superfly film is?
Director X.
Director X.
That's amazing.
Finally.
That's not even like worthy of Alan Smitty. Yeah. Like, even Alan Smitty won't put his name on that shit. It's like, no thanks.
So, and we want to turn your attention to the Facebook fan page, the Comedy Film Nerds Facebook fan page. There is a great video that Daniel posted of the Bruce Lee nunchuck fight, but superimposed with lightsabers, with the sound effects. It's fantastic.
It's like they're nunchucks that are lightsabers.
Yes.
So he's swinging them around, but they have on the end of them. It's the most
great.
It's fantastic.
So check that out on the Facebook fan page. And premiering this week, we have The Predator. I think I'm the only one really excited for this movie, but I keep seeing more trailers and I get more excited because I love what Shane Black is kind of doing with it. And just a bunch of psychopaths chasing an alien predator. But then there's a giant alien predator that's fighting all of them, the regular predators and the mercenaries.
Oh, wow. And an actual predator who got edited out of the film.
Yeah. Yes.
Which one? Spacey?
No,
Norm MacDonald. What happened?
Olivia Munn. There was a controversy on the Olivia Munn had a scene with an actor that was a registered sex offender and found out later about it and had the studio take the scene out of the film.
Ooh.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. But
You
know, that's calling in a favor with the director. I'm like, look, I know I'm a sexual offender, but could you put me in the movie?
Yeah.
So
And then
Olivia Munn found out and said no. Yeah. You know, you're taking that scene out of the film.
Which is fair. You should tell people that.
If
you have to go door to door.
Yeah.
Hi, nice to meet you. There's the coffee. Yeah. I'm a sexual predator.
It turns out I was convicted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Next is A Simple Favor, which is the trailer that we just saw. And White Boy Rick. This is a really interesting...
I've heard about
based
this.
On
I've
a,
seen the poster. I don't know anything about it.
I've seen the trailer for this several times, and I think we're getting into Oscar season.
Yes.
Because it's based on a true story. Matthew McConaughey plays his dad, and Matthew McConaughey's all scraggly, ugly looking, you know. And it's based on a kid in Detroit in the 80s who became this giant drug dealer. Mm-hmm. And it looks interesting to me. It looks like, I mean, again, we're starting to now, the trailers are starting to like get the Oscar hopefuls in there, so it feels like it could be an interesting story.
I feel like, too, this was like the there was like a rush to get this edited and finished. Like, we want to be first in Oscar season. Get it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it's a fascinating story about like a kid who becomes a drug dealer, then like an informant after that. So it looks really interesting.
It's written, it's directed by Yann Demange. I'm not sure who that is, but he has done, he did 1971. He's done a lot of TV.
Oh, Dead Side. I like that show.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this will be interesting to
watch. That's written by the same guy who did Black Mirror.
Ah.
Oh, I love Black Mirror.
Well, that's so. I think then let's see if the Black
that's
Mirror.
It's quite different than Black Mirror, yeah. though.
Well, it's an adaptation of a book, I believe. So it'll be, I'm curious to, like, you know, that's, it's Oscar bait. It's a based on, it's a biopic, true story. Mm-hmm. Not a biopic, but like based on a true story or some crazy thing that happened. So the kid that they cast in it, in the trailer, it looks interesting. He, who knows?
Yeah.
Could be bunch of cliches and a pile of dirt, but
could be a pile of haircuts.
Could be a pile of haircuts. You never know. It's a, when's the new Hellboy coming out? They
not
keep
for
pushing
a while.
That.
They all
keep pushing
all
that.
They keep just releasing the same still over and over again on social media, and that's it. With David Harbour being Hellboy, and that's, well, specifically Mike Mignola keeps releasing it over and over.
Oh, fair enough.
Feed, I've heard that they are finally getting around to Space Jam 2.
It's about time.
Wow. I rewatched that, spoke. By the way. Does not hold up in the glorious way. Glorious way. I went on a deep Bill Murray rabbit hole and watched everything, including Garfield Tale of Two Kitties, just to just say that I've done it. And I'd have to say that Space Jam is so heartbreaking what they do to those characters. I've forgotten how upsetting that is. It's like if you'd ever watched the new Muppet show that they had on ABC.
Right.
Yeah, it's, I tried.
It is. It just stomps on your heart. Yeah. It just like really middle fingers everything.
If there was a Warner Brothers cartoons canon, there would be a petition to strike that movie from the canon.
Oh, for sure.
From the Bugs Bunny and Daffy. Yeah.
I would
canon.
Say it would be non-canonical.
Yeah.
When I first moved to L.A. and was doing extra work, I was an extra at the old L.A. Sports Arena for some of the crowd scenes. And it was such a miserable experience that I just left and nobody knew it and I still got paid.
Nice.
It was horrifying.
That's like, so there is a good story to come out of Space Jam.
Story came silver lining.
I remember when they're like, $90 were made.
Yeah. They're like, hey, here's your lunch. And you know, you're thinking, oh, we're going to get a nice catered lunch because there was like 2,000 of us. These horrible, rotten box lunches that they just kind of threw at us like wolves.
Yeah. Yep.
And I was like, oh, no, you know what? While I'm in my 20s and young and not very bright yet, I'm bright enough to know you can go fuck yourself. You're just throwing a rotten hot dog at me.
But you could have been in the crowd of Space Jam.
Maybe I am.
Maybe you are. Mm-hmm. That's true.
I was in for one or two scenes, and then when we broke for lunch, you and could... I saw this pile of filth bags that we were supposed to jam into our rotten yap holes, I went, you know, I'm going to duck out. No one's going to see me.
Right. You could be a featured extra. We don't know.
Oh, yeah. Man. So, yeah, go watch Space Jam.
Yeah. And prepare yourself for the sequel.
Yes.
So, well, ladies and gentlemen, that is our show.
Wow. Bang, bang,
boom. Bit of a supersized show today.
I'm so glad go see Peppermint.
Yes, go see Peppermint.
I totally want to see
Peppermint. I will, actually. I'm excited.
And the spy who dumped me, quite honestly.
Don't see Anon.
Okay.
And if you
and
grew
He-Man.
Up playing with He-Man, go see
you
Power
will enjoy
Grayskull.
Yes.
That. So let's talk about the Kickstarter one last time to plug it. Comics, the Starburns Press Kickstarter.
Starburns presents Comics. Yeah, it's on Kickstarter and a ton of awesome rewards, a ton of great stories, and you helping us make the first one helps the ball rolling for all the ones that follow.
Guys, we always talk about this. You know, it's such a cool way to support independent artists. Obviously, we funded a bunch of projects through Kickstarter.
Yes.
And, you know, it's crowdfunding, in my opinion, is one of the coolest things because it just circumvents all the gatekeepers that decide who gets it and who doesn't. So,
right.
And you get ownership of it. You know, like I always say, one of the reasons I love it, I wish Kickstarter was alive when I was like a kid or something. I would have... Are you kidding me? If I like,
and you get it first.
Yeah, you get it first. You get it for less. You get it. Mm-hmm. You get all these extra things that
make
are just
make my
exclusive.
Dreams come true. Get on it.
Yes,
it's $12.
Have her be a published
or six
comic
if you have
author.
Comicology.
Yeah, or six if you just want digital.
I could have kicked money in to kickstart like the Dark Knight series or Watchmen or some shit like that.
Wait, do you like Batman?
The JackieKasian.com. Or Jackie, any tour dates? Any fancy things happening for you?
My life is a non-going delight of me traveling around the country talking out of my pie hole. So go to JackieKasian.com or follow me on all the things at Jackie Kasian. Kasian is spelled K-A-S-H-I-A-N. Live it up.
Nice.
Ooh, very nice.
Guys, doing a new monthly live show at a beautiful bowling alley in Tarzana, California, the Corbin
nice.
Bowl, September 22nd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we contacted Jackie about that, but she
I'm on the road already.
She said no.
But I love that bowling alley. It's a good looking bowling alley.
It's awesome, and they got this cool little lounge. And my friend Shannon works there, and she's like, Graham, they don't do anything with this lounge; just do shows there. So we're doing a show. Sam Tripoli's on it. Kira Saltanovich is on it. Myself, Jim Bruce, and he got one or two other comics. So. It's $10. The drinks are $3, and it's cheap. It's an affordable night. There's free parking.
And you could bowl, too.
And that's the other thing we're doing.
They probably have video games.
They do have video games. If you buy a ticket for the comedy show, free bowling shoe rental.
Nice.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm.
Come for the jokes, stay for the bowling.
Or just the shoes.
Just the shoes.
So stroll just around in someone else's shoes. Yeah.
They spray them nice.
Yeah.
I love the smell of that bowling shoe smell.
I want to take that home with me in my socks. So
It's glorious. So September 22nd, 8 o'clock, it's a Saturday night show. It'll be an awesome show. All the comics are 6 comics. Everybody's doing like 15-minute sets, so everyone's getting longer sets. Check it out. Go to GrahamElwood.com. And then I've got other shows doing the Progressive Comedy Tour with Ron Placone, November 2nd and 3rd in Sacramento and San Francisco. Those are starting to – that's getting close to selling out, so jump on those.
Oh, my God. I am going to be doing a set in Hanoi, Vietnam, and one in Bangkok.
That's amazing.
It's October 17th in Hanoi and November 4th in Bangkok.
Nice.
And then in the middle of those two things, I'm going to go look at Cambodia and Vietnam, and I'm going to write it off because I'm a tax and pay Democrat, but I'm not a moron.
That's right.
So come on out. Come on out.
It's still business.
Why do you think I go surfing in Hawaii? Do one bar gig and then writing it off.
Exactly.
And I want to mention, too, Conversations from the Abyss. We're going back into production on the next season, so that's kind of like a podcasty Black Mirror. Got another 8 episodes coming up. Some great ones. Cecil Baldwin from Welcome to Night Vale does one. He talks to a better version of himself in an episode, and some really creepy stuff coming out, too.
Awesome.
So that is in the works. It's a little delayed, but getting around to finally producing it, so it's good.
That sounds great.
Well, thanks for having us.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie. Thank you, Simon, for being on the show. Thank you, Aaron Brungardt, on the All Things Comedy ones and twos back there in his little comedy hovel. We keep him back there like
veal. He's built a little doorway of screens.
Yep.
Yep.
He's built a doorway
of screens. No, wall. That's the word I'm thinking of.
Yep. Tomato, tomato.
Everybody, first draft.
It's a doorway, but the door is perpetually plastered in.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's our show, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.